Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, Tuesday is World AIDS Day. AIDS, a disease that struck fear in the hearts of people worldwide beginning in the late 1980s. It's still a mystery to most of us. These 20 years later, much more is known about AIDS and the virus that causes it, called HIV, but most of us still know way too little about it, including our risk for acquiring it and how patients fare with it. In recognition of World AIDS Day, we're joined this morning by two people who can help us with some of the truth we need, both from Upstate Center of Bioethics and Humanities, our familiar and frequent guest, Dr. Deirdre Nealon. Good morning, Dr. Nealon.
Hi, Tricia.
And her bioethics colleagues, Emeritus Professor Dr. Joel Potash. Good morning, Dr.
Good
Potash.
Good morning, Tricia.
And actually, you've been a guest before. We welcome you back.
Thank you.
Now, the two of you are teaching a course called AIDS in American Literature, and that's through Consortium. Tell me about the Consortium real quick.
Very quickly, the Consortium offers courses to students at Syracuse University, Upstate Medical University, and Lemoyne College.
So if you're a student at any of them, you can take this
course. Right, and if you're in the community and you want to take the course, you can probably register to...
Yes, through
right.
us.
So, through Upstate Medical University. So it is for everybody in the community.
Excellent, excellent. Well, let me just read the description because I think that kind of sets the stage for our conversation this morning as well. It examines attitudes, cultural, national, professional, medical, and personal, toward those who have HIV/AIDS. The literature will present a combination of fictional and real characters. Through their lives, we follow the progression of the disease from its initial incarnation as mysterious, frightening curse to its current status as a chronic illness that can be managed with proper treatment and medication. Now, let's start with a little bit of history because I think that people might be very interested to know. We found this timeline online that the first identification of the virus was in 1959. 1959, Dr. Potash.
Yeah, that was a surprise to me when I read the timeline. And my guess is that in recent decades, they've been freezing blood samples. So it's possible that they went back and found someone who had AIDS is a syndrome, which means it's an accumulation of different disease manifestations and symptoms.
Okay.
That's what a syndrome means. Caused by the HIV virus. So probably they went back and found somebody who had all of those symptoms and did a blood test on it.
But they didn't have a name for it in those
they
days.
They didn't. And we just 3 years ago celebrated, I think, the 25th anniversary of the discovery of the AIDS virus.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say. I don't think it was really a part of the American lexicon anyway, until in the 1980s, well into the 1980s. And I even remember there was some political about it because President Reagan would not even acknowledge that it existed.
Right. For many years, there was no talk from the federal government about something which was building. At that time, maybe having thousands of deaths a year, building up 3,000, 4,000. And it wasn't on President Reagan's agenda. His attorney, Surgeon General was Dr. Koop, who we all know from his fighting cigarette smoking.
Sure.
And he's still around, and he wanted to do something with it, but it wasn't on the political agenda. And as when you're a Surgeon General, you're a political figure rather than a doctor.
Boy, that's the truth. That is the truth. Well, Dr. Nealon, tell us a little bit about how you cover the topic of the fact that many, many people just wanted to ignore the disease because they thought it was only a disease for homosexuals.
Yeah, it's a very interesting look at a disease progression when you look at the literature surrounding AIDS, which is why Joel and I thought this course was very important for students. Once the disease was known, what it was and that it was affecting so many gay men, there seemed to be this attitude of, well, they're bringing it on themselves. And you had the beginnings of what we always have with epidemics, which is, I don't want to get it, so I've got to figure out a way to make you be guilty. If you're guilty of something, then that means you deserve to get, whether it be the plague or tuberculosis. There is this natural thing in human nature. It's certainly not one of our better qualities.
No, it certainly is not.
We push you away so that we can be safe.
Right.
Especially if it's a communicable disease. You know, you put people, you get them off in a corner away from the rest of us so we'll be okay.
Yeah, and as long as I'm not guilty, I won't get it.
Yes.
But then it turned out that really wasn't true. And I remember this little boy whose name was Ryan White.
Yes,
and he certainly was not gay, and he had contracted HIV and then AIDS, And didn't
through
I think,
the blood
yeah.
because he was a hemophiliac.
He was hemophiliac.
So that was the beginnings of, okay, these people are getting AIDS. Now we better pay attention.
Yes.
I think you had many gay activists doing the ACT UP movement that brought it to the forefront of, listen, we pay taxes too, and mm-hmm. we should be doing research. Mm-hmm. Medical research should be done on this disease.
And funding for support of treatment of AIDS is called the Ryan White Act.
Oh, is
and
it?
And it was just recently renewed by the federal government.
Very
interesting. They named it after him, just like we will have somebody's law for someone who is sexually abused or whatever. Right.
You know, in the 1980s, I was still teaching elementary school, and I had a student who was a hemophiliac, and his name was Colby. And years later, because nobody was talking about AIDS in those days, years later I actually contacted his mom to see how he was doing. And he'd lost a number of friends through blood transfusions because they didn't know to filter that out, or they didn't know even to test for it before they transfused it.
Yes.
And I imagine there were a lot of deaths that way.
Right. And there's still some countries who use contaminated blood. So.
Well, you know, that actually sets up what I would like to discuss for the rest of our time. We have about 5 minutes. Let's go through some of the other myths, because we did kind of have to learn by feeling our way through it. We just didn't know. There were all these deaths, and people just didn't know, and they were afraid. So let's start with the one, all AIDS patients are homosexual.
Yeah.
Well, we already know that's not true.
No, that's not true, and that AIDS can be communicated sexually, and therefore heterosexuals are just as apt to have AIDS.
And that's the big gain in new cases nowadays is by heterosexual relationships. Actually, we're putting on a play on December 2nd, Wednesday at 4:30. You might put that in your calendar.
Okay, we'll put that in our calendar
It's
today.
Called In the Continuum, and it's about an African woman and an African-American woman, both of whom get HIV. The African woman gets it from her husband. The African-American girl, she's a teenager, gets it from her boyfriend, who's going to make it into the NBA.
Yeah.
He's a star basketball player. So they get it heterosexually, but it's going to change their lives. So they have to make a decision about who are they going to tell about it. Because you have to be very careful when you have diseases who you tell, because people still discriminate against you. Even if you have like a mental illness,
there's a stigma. There's a stigma associated. All right. Let's keep going with our myths. And yes, I will come back to that in the calendar later on. All right. How about anyone who gets AIDS will die right away?
Yeah. Well, that's what it was like at first, but it wasn't right away because they were sitting with a disease that nobody knew what it was for probably a decade.
Okay? Sure.
So nowadays, AIDS is pretty much a controllable disease. It can't be cured, and so you probably will die with it or from it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But you can expect to live a pretty normal life if you take medications, which is not that easy to do and not that inexpensive, for the rest of your life.
Okay.
There has been one case reported where someone who had leukemia got a transfusion, and their AIDS disappeared. And they find out that the person that got the transfusion had some kind of immunity to AIDS, which is very unusual.
Wow.
So that's factoring in now on how we might have a treatment.
In
you read about vaccines and stuff like that.
Very interesting. All right. AIDS cases are declining around the world. Is that true, Dr. Nealon?
No, not really. I mean, we're managing cases around the world better. The African continent has been particularly hard hit.
Mm-hmm.
India has many cases. But
you'd be amazed at the millions and millions and millions of people who have AIDS around the world. 1 million people in the United States, half of which are not diagnosed or treated.
Really?
So when we go to medical school, we spend a lot of time studying things that maybe have 20,000 people who have them in the country.
Yes.
We're talking about 1 million.
A million people.
Right? New York State has the most cases of AIDS of any state.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that's scary. And doesn't that take us to another one of the myths? You were telling me earlier that there are students in your class that begin the class that don't even understand that HIV or AIDS is still around or they can contract it.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons that Joel and I wanted to do the course, because I think young people in particular, young people always think that they're immune from everything.
They do.
They're going to live forever.
Right.
And sexually transmitted diseases in general are a problem for the college age.
Wow.
Students,
and kids are
high
still contracting
students.
It.
And
yes.
I think many people just take, they call them STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, as, well, that's just the risk of having sex.
Yeah.
But one of those, I mean, you can cure syphilis and you can cure gonorrhea and you can cure chlamydia, but you can't cure HIV.
Boy.
So they need to think about that a lot more.
Are there any physicians that specialize in AIDS in this community?
Yeah, we're very lucky here at Upstate. We have an AIDS Resource Center.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Blair, Dr. Rose, they're just terrific. And most of us as physicians in the community will have a case of AIDS or two, so we can't be expert at it. So we often, most often people go to the AIDS care center here, and sometimes they come back to us and they help us manage our patients.
They do.
They've been through some tough times with me, with my patients.
I bet they have. If you want to be tested, is it pretty easy to get tested for HIV or AIDS?
Sure. You can go to your own doctor. You can go to the county. You can actually get it done anonymously at the county.
You can. Anonymously, which I think that's important to a lot of people, too. We have run out of time. Dr. Joel Podesh, thank you so much for helping us understand AIDS better this morning. And Dr. Deirdre Nalen, you'll be back with us here after the news.
Great.
And we'll talk about some poetry and the healing muse.
Wonderful.
Very good. Listeners, we do need to take a break. Please stay with us. This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.